You guys can sit down for a minute. So Jerusalem had just been destroyed by Babylon. And most of the Israelites, they were forced into exile. But a few remained in the city. And those that were left in the city, they were left wondering, what just happened? See, Jerusalem was supposed to be the fulfillment of God's promise to them. But now the city and the temple, they were destroyed. So once again, the nation of Israel, they were left in a hopeless situation. They were a nation with no home. And they were a people with dying hope. But there was a watchman on the tower. He was standing at the wall and he was looking out and he sees a messenger and he's running to the city. And as this messenger is running, he is loudly shouting, "Good news!" Yes. And the prophet Isaiah, he writes, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring the good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns." See, the feet are beautiful because they carry a beautiful message. See, despite Israel or Jerusalem's destruction, Israel's God, he still reigns as king. And as that news is declared, as they're reminded that one day God himself, he's going to return to this city. He's going to take up his throne and he's going to bring peace. And with that good news, their hope was restored. See, the book of Isaiah, it stood for generations as a source of hope that someday God would return and rescue them. There are prophetic passages about the Messianic Savior that were taught, they were learned, they were recited from generation to generation, during exile and way beyond. See, like a watchman on the city wall, they were preparing themselves to be able to recognize the beautiful feet of the messenger that was going to bring the good news of God's kingdom. So we have passages like Isaiah 61 that provided hope.
Isaiah 53:7 says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring..." I'm reading the wrong one. 61, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor."
Nearly 700 years after those words were written by Isaiah, there was a poor carpenter's son. He was from the small town of Nazareth. And he went to synagogue one Sabbath, and he was invited to stand up and read from one of the scrolls.
And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery for the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Y'all, this was it. This was the announcement that they had been waiting generations for. They've been waiting for this announcement. But, see, Jesus, this poor carpenter's son that they'd known his entire life, he was not the Messiah that they were expecting. They were looking for a powerful king or a fierce conqueror, someone who would come and tell them to take up arms and declare it boldly with force. But the man that walked among them, he was teaching about the kingdom of God. He was loving the outcast, and he was challenging the political, the religious, and the social structures of the day. He was nothing what they were expecting. Even those closest to Jesus could not fully understand who he was and what he had come to do. But they loved him. How could you not? How could you not follow him? They willingly followed him because they could not deny the truth of his words and his actions. He performed signs and wonders, and miracles. He accepted the outcast and he welcomed in the sinner. He didn't just wait for them to come to him. He stepped toward the leper. And he offered grace to those who did not deserve it. But y'all, his message. See, he spoke in these mysterious parables, and they always seem to have a much deeper meaning than you could really understand. And he said things like, "The kingdom of God is near." But yet he never picked up a sword to try to overtake Rome. See, he spoke with the authority of a king or a priest. But he lived humbly with very few physical comforts. But y'all, his message. See, it sparked controversy. It challenged the religious, and it welcomed the sinner. It was considered blasphemy by those who had spent their entire lives waiting and watching for the Messiah. And they killed him for it. See, now his closest followers were even more confused. Could Jesus really have been the Messiah? How could the Messiah be dead? It didn't make sense. He was supposed to conquer, not surrender. See, he had done incredible things during his time with them. There were so many miracles. There were so many things that made them believe. But the Jewish people, they were still oppressed by Rome. There was still pain. There was still sickness, and there was so much darkness in the world. In fact, somehow, now that he was dead, the world seemed darker than it had before. They watched as his body was placed in a tomb, and though they loved him, they were left wondering, what had it all been for? Why had he come if he was only going to surrender to die? But the story of Jesus was far from over. See, very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, see, there were some women that had followed Jesus through his ministry. And they had prepared spices for his body, as was the custom. But when they got to the tomb, they found that it was not only open, but it was empty. And they stood there wondering, what could have happened? Did somebody steal his body? Like, who would do that? Why would they do that? Was Rome or even the Jewish council, were they trying to hide what they had done? There had to be some kind of logical explanation. Why was the body of Jesus not where they had placed it a few days earlier? But then, as shocking as lightning, there were two men that were standing before them, shining so bright that it broke through the dusk of the morning. And the women fell to the ground in fear. But these men, they asked them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember, he told you that the Son of Man would be handed over to the sinners to be crucified, but would be raised again on the third day. And at that moment, the women remembered the message. They remembered what Jesus had told them, and they understood. So they rushed back to the others, because this was the best news. So they rushed back to the others that had followed Jesus, and they go and they tell them what they had seen, what they had experienced. But the other people, they struggled to believe it. I mean, it sounds pretty crazy. The words of these women, it sounded like nonsense. See, they had seen with their own eyes Jesus die on the cross. They had watched as his body had been placed in a tomb. How could he come back to life? People didn't just come back to life. His body must have been stolen. That's the only logical explanation. So they ran to the tomb. And they saw it. It was empty. Where was Jesus? So they go back. And at this point, their rabbi, they had just watched him be massacred. So they're hiding in a locked room. And more people kept coming back saying that they had seen Jesus. Even so, it just doesn't make sense. It's not logical. And there had to be some kind of logical explanation, because we have to understand, right? But then Jesus was standing with them. He wasn't there, and then he was. From behind a locked door, he appeared. What kind of trickery was this? Is he a ghost? Is he some sort of apparition? Like, what's going on here? How could a dead man be standing in front of them? They didn't believe it was him. So he showed them the wounds in his hands and his feet. Those beautiful feet that had carried the good news of God's kingdom. Those beautiful feet who had been washed in the tears of the redeemed. Those same feet that had been pierced through with a nail as they hung him on a cross because of his message. This is him. It had to be him. This was Jesus. Somehow, he was with them again. See, everything that he had told them had happened, just as he said it would. He had fulfilled every prophecy that had been written about the Messiah. And he opened their minds to be able to understand the scriptures. And finally, they began to understand the message that he came to share. See, this is the good news. Kids, listen up. This is your answer. This is your chance to cheat. The good news is that by God's grace and love for humanity, he sent his son Jesus to make a way for all people to experience forgiveness and hope. Did you guys get all that?
Yeah.
See, Jesus delivered the message for us to receive. But receiving the message is only the beginning. Because when the message is this good, it has to be shared. It has to be. And the story of Jesus is still far from over. See, just like Jesus opened the minds of the disciples to understand the mission, and he commissioned them to carry the message of his good news to others, he has sent the Spirit to open our minds to understand his message and to encourage us to continue to carry the good news. See, we can't keep something this good to ourselves.
Yes.
So share the message. As you go through your days, proclaim peace. Bring good tidings. Proclaim salvation and boldly declare that our God reigns. Because how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring the good news. So stand, we're going to worship and celebrate just a little bit more.